Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Proverbs 18, Proverbs 18, verse 24. Proverbs 18, verse 24. For the last 2 Wednesdays, and then this being the third, this has been our launching point. Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Look at me, if you will. I'm going to review. if you'll give me the opportunity to review, catch everybody up tonight, I'll finish off. We started several weeks ago a series on the topic of separation. Now, I know I'm in a Baptist church. At least if I'm not, I'm getting out of here in a hurry. Amen? Say, what would you be if you weren't Baptist? Embarrassed. I'm just not going to be anything else. But I am Baptist to the bone, Baptist all the way through the bone, Baptist to the marrow, joints, everything else. And I was born near a Baptist church, going to a Baptist church. Before I was born, going to die in one. They're going to carry my box out of one. Amen? And that's just the way it is. Now, I know when I say the word separation, let me tell you what you think of. You think of women not wearing pants, men have short haircuts, and you live moral lives. That's not separation. Separation is, the Bible says that we are to be coming out from the world, but we are to be separated from something unto something. And I have used this illustration before. If you get saved, you are in your lost state. When you get saved, you come out of that, but you're not walking a Christian life yet. You're supposed to be like God, like Jesus. That's the goal. Just because you got saved and stepped out of that does not make you separated. Now, your eternity has been sanctified, which means set apart. You're not going to die and go to hell, amen? I used this illustration, Lot. When Lot and his family were in Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible says that they left Sodom and Gomorrah. They got out of town. They stopped at a place called Zoar. When they got there, the Bible says that Lot was going towards God. His wife turned and looked it back from what she had, and God turned her into a pillar of salt. If you go to Luke chapter 17, we won't take time to turn there. That's why the verse says, remember Lot's wife. Our ultimate goal is to be here where God is. Trouble is, she came out of something, but she was not separated yet. Her feet were going this direction while her head was going this direction. I'm going this way, but I want that. I'm going this way, but I want that. I'm going this way, but I want that. And because she turned around desiring what she had that she had come out of, by the way, that's the things I mentioned earlier, those are standards. That's not separation. The reason sometimes standards are difficult for Christians is because they're turned around looking the wrong way. They're back here. They're looking here while they're supposed to be going this way. And they get off course and they wonder why they're stumbling around. They get saved and they come out of the old lifestyle, but they're still looking at it saying, I wish I had, I wish I had. And that's why they struggle. Let me tell you something. The closer you get to God, the less that becomes appealing to you. The Bible says in Galatians, why turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? These things back here are bondage. This isn't freedom. Being next to God, whew, man, you got freedom. You got total freedom over here. So many Christians live their life with their head on a swivel looking back where they came from. Now, I say that because we went into the area of separation and friendship. I said, point number one, God wants to be your friend. Can I tell you something? Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That is in reference to God. Amen. We use the illustration of Moses. The Bible says that God talked to Moses face to face as a man talks to his friend. We went to the book of James, where it says that Abraham was the friend of God. We talked about the disciples, and they were together. Lazarus had died, and they said, when Jesus looked at him and said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, let's go wake him up. He was dead, and he said, let's go, we're going to resurrect him. Jesus called Lazarus his friend. Now, Jesus, God, wants to be your friend. Let me ask you a question. How's your friendship with God going? How's this friendship going? The closer you get in this friendship, the better your friendships down here are. I'll promise you. The Bible says, number two, avoid those that cause division and offenses. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. It says, avoid those who cause division and offenses. And it talks about the brethren. It's not talking about lost people. It's talking about saved people who cause disunity, disloyalty, dissension, trouble, scandal, gossip, those who talk about sin and sinful pleasure, someone who causes other people to fall. The Bible says avoid them. That word avoid means to totally, absolutely shun or stay out of the way of. It doesn't mean, ooh, that was a near miss. No, it means you go all the way around. Now, not only should you avoid this crowd, you should avoid this crowd. Because you have a crowd that will stay connected to the evil crowd. They're simple. They're foolish. They'll stay connected. And the longer you're with this crowd, the farther away from this crowd you are. I promise you. We talked about Absalom leading disloyal people in disloyalty, led simple people. Do you know that wisdom, wise people will not be disloyal? Wise people are not disloyal. Wise people understand what disloyalty does because it's contrary to God. When someone's disloyal, they are not exercising wisdom. Everybody okay? Okay. The purpose of avoiding these people is so that you can be the friend of God, not so you can avoid them. Remember, the whole goal is coming out and separating two. And the more you're back here, the less of this you're getting. So the whole purpose of separation is so that you can get closer to God. Boy, that's good stuff. Number three, the Bible says, withdraw from those who walk disorderly. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 and 7. The Bible says, withdraw or abstain from associating with, from those who are morally irregular, not living in truth. People who live in wrong truth, those who are immoral, the Bible says that we are to withdraw from those people. Say why? Because they're pulling you away from where you're supposed to be, which is the friend of God. Can light dwell with darkness? No. What contrast hath Christ with Belial or with the devil? God and the devil don't cohabitate. Say why? They're opposites. Now listen to me very carefully. Those who walk disorderly live with confusion and frustration around them. They use confusion and frustration to draw you back, just so you know. They will try to muddy the waters so that, well, look how muddy things are around you. It's only muddy around you because you're with them. You get away from them, the water's clear, amen? Do you ever wonder why you get around some people and everything? You know, it's kind of like Pigpen on Charlie Brown. Got this cloud of dust. Didn't seem to be dirty and dark till he showed up, amen? Do you ever notice that around those kind of people, everything's always muddy? But the farther away from them you get, the pure, the clear the water is? Can I tell you something? It's them. So many of you just look down and say, oh, they must be right. I better go with them where it's clean. No, they're the ones muddy in the water. Stay away from them. This is where you're supposed to be, not back there. Now, listen to me very carefully. That brings us to about where we left off last Wednesday. Number four, let principles decide friendships, not emotions. Let principles decide friendships, not emotions. You may need to let truth override your emotion. By the way, we crack on the women about being emotional creatures, but fellas, you're just as bad when it comes to friendships. Amen, ladies? Go ahead. All right. I made this statement last Wednesday. If you are loyal to the right principles, you'll be loyal to the right people. You know, I never have to check who I'm loyal with. I just check with which principles they and I are loyal to. I never worried about being a friend with Brother Hiles because we were loyal to the same principles. I've never worried about being a friend to my dear friend, Brother Owens. Say why? We're loyal to the same principles. I'm not worried about my loyalty to a friend like Dr. Anderson or to Pastor Jim Gelhausen or Brother Kevin Arcola or Pastor Mike Dingus or Pastor Mike Childers. And I could go on and on and on and on. Say why? Because we're in the same vein. We're in the same line of truth. And as long as we stay there, we're going to be friends a long time. Say why? Because we're loyal to the same principles. We're in the same path. We're on the same farm. We're on the same team of horses. We're pulling together. Now, this is the verse that I could not find last week and confused myself with because I was in a hurry. Proverbs 22, turn there. I said, number one, don't build friendships with people who are angry. Proverbs 22, look at verse number 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Now there's a difference between anger and furious. Anger means someone that's quick to, got a short fuse, amen? Furious means out of control. Can I tell you something? People that are angry and out of control quickly don't make good friends. Trust me. Because eventually that's going to turn on you. That means they are letting circumstances control their emotion. Their emotions are controlling them, not principle. Angry people generally do not follow principles. I did not say that principled people never get angry. God says, be angry and sin not. When anger is planned, when anger is there as a tool, not a reaction, there's a difference. Parents, you need to plan your anger with your children, not just let it happen. Everybody doing okay? Man, I feel like I'm on an island all by myself. Next, don't make fools your friend. Don't make fools your friend. Turn to Proverbs 13. By the way, don't get mad at me. I'm just giving you God's word, not my words. Say, well, you were talking about so-and-so. I wasn't talking about anybody. I'm just reading the Bible. If you labeled so-and-so, that's your problem, not mine. Proverbs 13, look at verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But watch this. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. The Bible says, if you're walking in truth with wise people, you'll be more wise. But if you're a companion of a fool, a friend of a fool, you will be destroyed. It doesn't say you might be, it says you will be. It doesn't say possibly, it says, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. Fools, do a study sometime. I've done it. Study the word fool and compare it to the word evil. Go through the book of Proverbs and compare the foolish person and the evil person. They're identical. Because foolish people are motivated by evil. And evil people act foolishly. So as you go through the book of Proverbs, everywhere it talks about a foolish person, it's talking about an evil person. Evil and foolishness go hand in hand. They're virtually married together. They're two in one flesh. I know what I'm talking about here. Fools are evil. Fools disobey on purpose. You know what I'm talking about. When you were in school, you always had that one kid. He didn't disobey because he was simple. He just disobeyed because he was just rotten. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like Brother Hawk. I mean, oh, wait a minute. There's a difference in somebody who disobeys accidentally. And we're, by the way, we're all going to disobey on purpose sometime. Just some do it all the time. You know, I taught long enough to know there were certain people, I didn't give them the chance to disobey me. I would say in advance, all right, Levi, don't you dare do this. We're all about to do this. I just start with the fool, amen. I'm just kidding. It wasn't Levi, it was Hannah. But but I would never even give the fool the credit. I would start with the fool saying, you're not going to do this. We're all going to do this. Say, what did that do? I labeled him a fool before he became a fool. Usually it backs him down. Not always. There were other ways to back him down. Can I tell you something? Don't spend time with fools. I mean this. I don't spend time with people that hate God. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I don't spend time with those people. When I'm out soul winning, say, how long do you debate people that don't believe in God? About that long? You say, well, they need to be saved. They don't even believe in God. You're not going to get them saved. That's a distraction of the devil to keep you from knocking on somebody's door that wants to get saved. Say, here's the gospel. When you start believing in God, read this or call me and I'll help you. In other words, have a good night. I don't stand there and argue with them. I might try one or two times just to see if I can get them convinced. And if not, Jesus said, shake the dust off your shoes and go to the next house. Amen. And that's what I do. Now, number next. Oh, some of you are going to get mad, but here we go. Number next. Don't be friends with a whisperer. Turn to Proverbs 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Again, these aren't my words. These are God's words. Look at verse 28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Gossips are not your friends. Everybody look at me for a second. Gossips that are gossiping to you about somebody else are not your friend. It doesn't say those who gossip about you shouldn't be your friends. I always worry when I see people pulled aside and they're whispering. And if I walk by, all of a sudden the conversation stops. Parents, when your kids are whispering and you walk up and the conversation changes, something's wrong. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. Say, what is that? Because whisperers separate chief friends. That little bit of whispering. I'm for people going out and eating together. I'm for going out and eating no matter what. Amen? But I'm not against that. But I've watched people prey on people. Hey, let me take you to lunch. Usually your pyramid salespeople do that real well. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Let me take you to a nice dinner. Let me show you how much money you could make. Why don't they talk to you in a group? They got to get you one-on-one, try to play your emotion. I know what I'm talking about. By the way, if they're going to talk about somebody else to you behind their back, guess what? When they leave your presence, they're talking about you to someone else. Look at chapter 17, just next chapter. Look at verse number 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Brother Logue, come on up here for a second. Leave your Bible. You're not that spiritual. Good grief. Brother Logue does something bad. He beat his wife. He got himself right with her and right with God. Came to my office, both of them. We got it settled. It's okay. No, it did not happen. She beat him. He didn't beat her. Can't you tell with a face like that? He'd grow hair on it, just covered up. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Because I love him, I'm not going to tell you all whatever his problems are. Watch this. Most people, when they read this verse, they say, he that covereth transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. That means if he goes back and beats her again, that it's going to put discord between us. Oh no. The term repeat means to speak out loud about what he did. It is wrong for me, for whatever goes on in my office, to come out here or to talk to people individually and say, did you know? There's probably not a person in here I don't know something about you. I'm not telling anybody. Say why? Because you're my friends. I love you, therefore we'll help you. When people start talking about other people's sins, they're not the kind of people to be your friend. Thank you, Brother Logue. I'm gonna make a statement here. I hope I offend you with this. If I'm successful, somebody won't like this, but at least I know you're listening. Opinions are worthless if you don't have the authority to do anything about your opinion. Let me make that statement again. Opinions are worthless if you don't have any authority to do anything about your opinion. Let me show you what I mean. Brother Smith, I love you and your family. I have no right to tell you how to raise your two girls, and I'm not going to. I can teach you from the Bible what the Bible says, but whether I think you're doing something right or something wrong, by the way, that's a good family right there. Whether I agree with everything, okay, kids, close your eyes. Parents, how many of you did things as a parent you wished you wouldn't have done? Yeah. And you want to criticize somebody else how bad they're doing? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, if you have the authority to change it, and you have someone coming to you for advice, guess what? Then you have a chance to express your opinion. In the book I published here a few years ago, I said it this way. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. You pick which one you want. Your opinion really doesn't matter. Say, well, in my opinion, Brother Bush, I think you should. Guess what? You don't have a vote in it. Don't worry about it. Now, when it comes to spending the money for things here at the church, you'll get a vote in it. Amen? But past that, guess what? What goes on behind this pulpit, that's my business, not yours. That's his opinion. That's the only one that matters. I love him enough to make it that way. You know, I had a pastor call me yesterday. He said, Brother Bush, I got a problem. I need your advice. I believe I helped him. Do you know that I knew he had that problem months ago? I didn't call him and say, brother, I know you're going through this. You need some help. I got an opinion about it. He didn't want my advice then. By the way, it's his church, not mine. Why do I need to worry about it? I knew about it through a certain situation that had come my way, said nothing. Nothing. Say why? Because I wasn't even sure it was true. How much time did you put into thinking about it? About that long. Enough to say, not my problem, not going to worry about it. That's all the time I put into it. You see, you don't have to continually express your opinion. Usually, advice that's not asked for is hated. Usually. Next. Bible says, make friends with spiritual people. Turn back to Proverbs 13. Same verse we read a little while ago. Verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Can I tell you something? Boys and girls, you show me who your friends are, I'll show you what you are. Mom and dad, you show me who your friends are, I'll show you what you are. I don't care how old or how young you are. You show me who your friends are, I'll show you what you are. Because you will adapt to what your friends are. Guess what? If you're over here with God, you got nothing to worry about. You down here in Zoar messing with Lot and Lot's wife, guess what? You got troubles. Some of you are in Zoar with Lot and Lot's wife looking back at Sodom, wishing you had some of the things in Sodom. And you wonder why your life's a mess. You're in the wrong crowd. God says, make friends with wise, spiritual people. Just because they're saved does not make them wise. It makes them wise enough to know they need salvation. I will give you that. But I know some Christians that are dumber than a box of rocks. Now listen to me very carefully. Friends who obey God, guess what? They'll help you obey God. I make sure my friends can tell me the truth. I have a friend. I've known him for decades. I get almost used to get weary of this person saying this. Now, I need you to tell me the truth. I don't need you to be loyal to me like a friend. I need you to tell me the truth. After a few years of that, I got fed up one day, looked at that person square in the face and said, if I am loyal, I will tell you the truth. Now knock it off. I'm not afraid to tell my friends, look, you're about to mess up. Say why? Because that's what a friend does. Try to keep you on the right path of truth, amen? Some of you, your friends try to get you to do wrong. That's the wrong kind of crowd. Next, I gotta hurry. Look at Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, make sure your friends have a pure heart. Make sure your friends have a pure heart. Look at chapter 22, verse 11. He that loveth pureness of heart for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Ooh. He that loveth pureness of heart for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Let me ask you a question. I've watched a lot of people brown nose high-level people. Y'all know what I'm talking about at work? Did you ever watch those high-level people after that person goes away go, gag? Because they know they're getting brown-nosed. You've watched other people just be themselves, and high-level people go, now that's the kind of person I'd like to be around. Can I tell you the difference? One has a pure heart, one doesn't. one has a selfish motive to go around saying, I know such and such boss. Then you get people that they get around big shots and then they come back using the big shot's first name like they really know him personally. What a joke. I met up with, I won't tell you who, but I was at a hospital one day visiting a well-known preacher. I was there. He was getting ready to go into heart surgery. Brother Hiles had just left that man's room, asked me to go there and pray with him because that man asked for me. When I went there, there was two former employees of one of the places that Brother Hiles had employees. They looked at me and said, what are you doing here? I said, Brother Hiles asked me to come pray with Brother so-and-so because he's about ready to go into heart surgery. And they said, you don't know him. I said, I know him. I know him quite well. And then they used Brother Hiles' name, but they didn't say Brother Hiles. They just called him by his first name. And I went off, Brother Ed. I was standing in the corridor of a hospital in Munster, Indiana. Brother Stoltz, I let him have it. Both of those men used to teach me. And I went off. I said, don't you ever talk like that. I said, get your ugly, fat, nasty carcass out of my way. I said, there's a reason you don't work here anymore, and I get out. I was mad. I thought, who are you to think you are somebody? I said, oh, a little bit of authority, and you think you're somebody. I said, no, I'm just as dirty, wicked, rotten of a sinner as you. I know it, you don't. That's the difference. I said, get out of the way. I'm coming through. And I did. And they got out of the way. What is that? Not a pure heart. Your friends that have pure hearts will help keep your heart pure. They're not going to corrupt your family. Boy, I got to hurry up here. Look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Have friends who will tell you right from wrong. Have friends who are willing to tell you right from wrong. Good friends tell you the truth no matter what. Real friends will counsel you what's best, not what their heart says do. I have a friend that would say it this way. You know you have a real friend when they're willing to tell you you got a booger in your nose. Katie, yes you do. All right. Are you embarrassed now? Good. You know, a real friend will tell you the truth no matter what. Again, there's times it's not always comfortable to tell your friend, hey, look, I don't think that's best. But a real friend does. I got to hurry here. Next. This is the last point I'll give you. Look at same chapter, Proverbs chapter 27. Look at verse number 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Countenance. Choose friends who will help you be closer to God and spiritual things. Let me ask you a question. Do your friends pull you this way, or do they take you this way? That's how you decide. Do your friends pull you back this direction to the muddy water, or do they bring you closer to God? That's the decision. College student came to me one day. He said, Brother Bush, I think I found the right person to marry. I said, you think? He said, I think so. I said, let me ask you this. How's your walk with God? Put his head down. I said, I said, are you more spiritual now because you're dating her, or are you less spiritual? In all of his humility, well, about the same. That means it's worse. I said, I think, according to the scripture, you knock it off and get right with God. After you get right with God, let's see where you land. To the young man's credit, he stopped the relationship. To the young man's credit, he spent the next 6 months literally getting on fire for God again. Oh, by the way, he didn't date that other young lady again, found a young lady that was on fire for God and has been happily married for well over 20 years. Can't tell you how many times he said, Brother Bush, you saved my life. You saved my life. I said, no, I didn't. I just will and tell you the truth. That friend, here's the whole question. This way or this way? Which is it? That's the only question. I have friends that are in this pool over here, but guess what? I don't spend time with them. I don't even unless I bump into them, I don't talk to them. Say, why? Because I'm over here so much. I'm not about to let that muddy water get splashed all over me. I want the sweetness and the fellowship of God Almighty himself. Why do I want to go back to that? And I'll finish with this. By the way, do your friends get you closer to the Bible or farther? Do your friends get you closer to your church or farther? Do your friends get you closer to the man of God or farther? Your friendships will not be perfect. Can I tell you why? You're not perfect. And neither am I. But thank God for Matthew chapter 1, where it says that Jesus was the friend of sinners. Sorry, Matthew 11, not Matthew 1. Matthew 11, 19. That Jesus is the friend of sinners. I close with this illustration. Do you remember the story of Jesus in Gethsemane? There he knelt and prayed and was sweating great drops of blood. The disciples were watching from afar. Judas leads a band of Roman soldiers in, walks over and sees Jesus, places the kiss of betrayal upon Jesus' cheek. Do you know what Jesus called Judas? He said, friend, thy speech betrayeth thee. Whoa. Whoa. God used Judas to allow Calvary to take place. God used Judas, and the devil thought he had Jesus down. Guess what? 3 days and three nights later, he proved otherwise. He said, thank God you're here, friend. I thought I was going to die there in the garden. Now I get to do it God's way. You're going to have friends that disobey. You're going to have friends that are bad. It doesn't mean you spend time with them. By the way, Jesus didn't spend another moment with Judas. Matter of fact, Judas went out, hung himself, and has been burning in hell for the last 2,000 years. Let me ask you a question. Your relationships, your friendships, where are they taking you? This way? Closer to God? Or are they pulling you this way? Husband and wife, are you pulling each other closer to God? Or is the bickering and fighting causing the waters to be muddied so much that you can't even see God anymore? Hey, teenager, with your parents, how's your relationship? My first question is this, how's your relationship with God? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. It is a walking with God problem when you have bad friends. I did not say that your friends would all be over here, but they ought to be headed this direction. And they ought to be out of the muddy water if you're going to spend time with them. That will save your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not sure who the Lord has put on your mind, but I know this. We all need to work on our friendships. We all need to work at being that friend to God and friend with God so that we can be better friends to other people. Because that's what it's all about.